This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sessmann Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Monday. Hope you had a terrific long holiday weekend. There was so much sports going on. We really did not. We had our time to get away, but it's the business that you choose to be in, and you do not decompress when you know that it is the rivalry game in football. You know that both college basketball programs, actually all three college basketball programs, had interesting moments over the weekend here in the Valley and in the state. And you had a coach that was fired, and you had the pro football team pull out a poorly coached final moments by the visiting head coach of Jacksonville. Run the ball and they win, but the Cardinals take advantage of some dumb coaching by Doug Marrone, and that's that. And there's no other way to put it. And so there's debate today about whether Blaine Gabbert is the long-term answer for the Arizona Cardinals. At minimum, I think he should finish out the season, but he still throws too many interceptions for my liking. There just aren't enough talented quarterbacks. Or, you know, the Tom Brady's and the Carson Wentz's and the Ben Roethlisberger's only take you so far. Look at what's going on in Kansas City with Alex Smith all of a sudden. Free fall. Look out. A year ago, Jared Goff was terrible. Now he's great. I thought the Aqib Talib fight was about as good as it gets over the weekend when you just see sheer stupidity. And, of course, the Cowboys are playing with both hands squarely around their necks. It's hard to throw a ball or catch a ball when you're just gagging like the Dallas Cowboys are doing. So, but Todd Graham got fired. So let's just start there. And we're going to have a busy show today. Eric and I, last night, we communicate on Sunday nights. And we basically communicate all hours, right? We don't have a shutdown time.
No, but sometimes Eric doesn't get Brad's emails until the next morning if he sends them too late, or if I'm
like
yesterday. Like yesterday when I left the Cardinal game, I shut my laptop off, went to dinner, came home, watched some TV, went to bed, and woke up some more. I was like, oh, Brad sent two emails.
Yeah, and that two for me is not bad.
No, it's fine. And yes, I expect a couple Sunday night emails from you. And this weekend there was quite a bit to discuss.
You had high school stuff to look at. You were at the ASU game. You were at the Cardinal game. You were a man about town.
I did not see any high school over the weekend. But
you did not. You not watch or listen or stream or follow.
Okay, I did not. I mean, I saw Castile one.
Yeah,
but that's all I really saw. Yeah, on Saturday going down Tucson.
So Eric and I are at the ASU game. Let's just start there. We're at the ASU game. He's on the field. I'm up in the press box, and I'm having Wi-Fi issues all over the place. It was there. It wasn't. It was there. It wasn't. So I was getting a little frustrated. What was interesting, I sat with Greg Hansen before the game, the longtime columnist of the Arizona Daily Star, and we were talking just about where the things were heading. And I go to my seat, and Dan Wolkin from USA Today publishes a story right before kickoff. Todd Graham expects to be fired. Well, Dan's not somebody who's just going to mess around, and so and there was just a vibe this last week where people were not returning phone calls. There are people that you'd walk up to in the press box with Arizona State, and there's just a body mannerism. They're used to firing coaches, so you just get a vibe. And then when Dan put something out, Dan's not wrong. And I thought, you know, that's pretty smart of Todd Graham, because now Todd Graham has thrown a back on Ray Anderson. It was pretty strategic to have a story come out saying Graham expects to be fired right before kickoff of the game, within about 20 to 30 minutes before the game. Because now it's, you know, win or lose, I'm out of here, and I'm expecting him to fire me. And, yeah, I'm going to get a big, fat check to walk away. So the game ends. And, by the way, ASU won the game. I don't know if anybody's really talked about that in the last 36 hours.
And you have to think, Brad, Ray Anderson was really hoping for like a 58-10 U of A win on Saturday.
Sure.
Because
when it was 14-0 first quarter,
sure.
He was internally, he had to be saying, this is going to be a lot easier for me to sell.
And he was not down on the field. At least I did not see him down on the field. And usually Ray Anderson is there before the game for sure, sometimes during the game, and definitely towards the end of the game, and I did not see him at all.
Okay, but don't you think Ray had to have thought, I felt that after the USC game, so there's some people at ASU that like to call or send emails or whatever. They get all worked up when we merely point out that things aren't well, which will lead me over to what Ray said yesterday, because most everything that Ray said, I am lock, stop, in agreement with him. And I'm not going to sit here and bash Todd Graham. Todd Graham took him about as far as Todd Graham can take him. This is another year where I get people that are excited to go to San Diego or El Paso. That's unacceptable.
But it's been accepted for many, many years.
Too long.
Well,
yes.
Brad, you know the last coach that left ASU football to go to another job before he got fired? Do you know who that is?
John Cooper.
John Cooper. Very, very good. Do you know when that was that that happened?
80s.
80s. Okay. It's almost 2018.
Yep.
Here's the deal. ASU is an 8-win-a-year program.
If they're lucky.
It is what it is. I'm sorry. Like, and I know Ray Anderson has big aspirations and big dreams, but guess what? You're an 8-win-a-year team.
So we disagree.
Look at the last 25 to 30 years.
Yes, but things can change. How long did it take them to get out of this antiquated dump of a stadium before they would finally renovate?
Things have changed.
And I'm not denigrating Frank Cush. For those of you that wear maroon socks up above your kneecaps with gold shorts, okay, this isn't denigrating Frank Cush. The stadium was the worst. It needed to be changed. It's not 1975 anymore. Get over it.
And it's a much better venue now.
Oh,
and
my
gosh,
it's going to be
even much better when they get the east side done. But
it's
what I'm
beautiful.
Saying is, Brad, another common theme that you've noticed from ASU football coaches is new ASU coaches do really well with the previous coaches' recruits. We saw it with Dennis Erickson taking over for Dirk Cutter. We saw it with Todd Graham taking over for Dennis Erickson.
Yep.
And there's just some sort of rut. All these coaches, after 3 or 4 years, they have a couple good years, and then the bottom drops out.
There is, when you have programs like this, from my point of view, there is a culture and a fabric and an acceptability of being mediocre that's been there for far, far too long. This is how we've always done it. Oh, well, we're never going to be able to compete because this is a pro sports town. Many times I've heard that nonsense. So, you know, and I'm not sitting here on someone's payroll trying to, you know, chase clicks off something. This is unfiltered. We're not sitting here filtered on this ASU stuff. You know, the program, if you're talking football within this state on the college level, what Todd Graham did is he turned around the Titanic. He just didn't get it all the way turned around. And for those who want to get off on, well, you know, look at what they did this year against Washington. They were so lucky to beat Washington. And they lost. San Diego State's not good. Just look at their recent performances. Okay, if you're going to sit there and say, well, look at what they did against this team and that team head to head, that was a poor showing for a coach whose AD said at the kickoff luncheon, I'm anxious to see my coach, who is surrounded by the staff that is the best staff since Frank Cush's staff. Ray Anderson put it out there. 2 years ago, quick story. We're going to have Doug Howler here in about 3 minutes. We'll have Paula at the bottom of the hour. We're going to have Jeff Van Raphorst all coming up today. Rick Neuheiseling is going to join us tomorrow on all this stuff. So 2 years ago, I'm emceeing the annual steak fry event in Pine Top. Todd is not there, which, you know, he had travel plans. There's nothing wrong with that. And I'd fished with Todd up at Danny White's pond, and I'd done stories on him and bumped around on back forest roads. And, you know, I liked Todd. I did. And people that said, well, you got your wish. I didn't get my wish. I never once have sat here and said, you need to fire him. You have to sit here and look at the whole body of work and what's going on over there. Mired in mediocrity. And he did the best he could to get around it. But we're at this event, and I've got Danny White up on stage. And this had just come out a few weeks earlier about how the renovation at ASU, the money had been raised to start getting the new facility going, which is the beautifulness of Sun Devil Stadium as it is now. And Danny's up there on stage with me, we're answering questions, and these are alums that are very passionate, very, very passionate, couple hundred. And Danny just takes the mic when I ask him about what's going on with the stadium and the momentum of the program. And he turns right to Ray Anderson, who's out in the crowd, and he says, "Well, Ray, there's no more excuses." And Ray says, "You got that right, Danny. Keep preaching it. No more excuses." Okay, so, and when someone of Danny's stature says what he says, which was true, and I believe that to this day, that I would hear excuse making out of coaches that were there and people around the program. When Ray said, "Preach it, Danny, that's right," that moment to me was a moment that I put in the back of my pocket and said, that's not the athletic director saying, "I've got my guy in place." It wasn't a shot at Todd. It was just basically, yeah, there's no more excuses. So for 2 years, we've sat here and watched this thing just kind of meander around. And there's moments. But what was more impressive to me was, is that Ray, you know, beating U of A shouldn't be the deciding factor of keeping a coach. There's too much of that stuff. Well, if they beat U of A, it's a successful season. No, we're going to fire the coach. We don't care. We're going to fire him. And it's really split the followers here. So I'm going to talk more about that. Doug Haller is on the other side, AZ Central Sports ASU insider. His view and where they're going to go from here. We're going to do a lot of that on this show. And I've got more to get into as well. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Looking forward to Doug Haller next. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. This segment of the show brought to you by Sagicor Now. Appreciate the people at Sagicor Now. Guys, you got to protect what matters most. Look into your life insurance. The people at Sagicor Now, they are the best that you need to get in touch with and look over your situation. That is at Sagicor Now. Don't put it off. We appreciate Sagicor Now. Rick Neuheisel is going to join us later on the show. We just added him. Paula Bovin, news and notes from the professor in about 15 minutes. Jeff Van Raphorst coming up at 10:50. And again, we partner with AZ Central Sports. This show streams as well on AZ Central as it does here on Sports 360, our television show on Fox Sports Arizona, 16 airings a week, airing Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. Doug Haller joins us now. AZ Central, ASU insider. I saw Doug briefly. He had this look on his face of, "I have somewhere to be," as I'm getting off the elevator down on the main level. Before the ASU, he and Jeff Metcalf had this look on their face of, "We have to work." And this was probably, what was it, an hour and a half? So the Dan Wolkin story had not come out as of yet. Did you have an inkling that he was gone, that Todd Graham was gone before kickoff? Is that why you were glazed over and just blew me off, Doug? Was that it?
Actually, we had to get down on the field to do a pregame video. So
all right, understood.
Probably. But no, I mean, after the UCLA loss, I kind of said, like, okay, he's not going to survive this. Throughout the course of the season, Brad, the people that I talked to within the room, within the football department, you know, they were operating under the assumption that they had to get to 7 regular season wins to have a chance to save their jobs. And it wasn't clear to me whether that was something that Ray Anderson and Michael Crow told Todd before the season. You know, we were all operating under what Ray Anderson said, you know, earlier this year. I think you were out there the day at Karsten when he said, you know, we need to see improvement, that losing seasons are not acceptable. And, you know, Ray told me that, you know, we need to see something that shows that this is just not a blip, that if they have a decent season that we can count on next year, you know, building off that next year. So we were kind of operating under that. And ASU this season had shown improvement. But after hearing Ray yesterday, you know, I'm just not sure if Todd didn't have a chance that he couldn't have done anything to save his job this year. It seemed to me that Ray wanted to make a change, and he had a reason to do it. And you can make strong reasons to say that he was justified in his decision-making, but it just seemed that way to me, that he wanted to make a decision, and that's what he did.
We're talking with Doug Haller. You can check out all of his content at azcentralsports.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I would even go back further than that. On my end, I think you and Jeff, both Jeff Metcalf, had quotes from Dr. Crow and Ray over the summer that were eyebrow raising. I was at the kickoff luncheon in August at the Mission Palms, where Ray stood up and just in about a minute 45, 2 minutes, said things like, this is the best assistant coaching staff since Frank Cush's days. And I'm anxious to see the rise of our coach. And with that, he just said, thank you and see you later. And it just had a feel of, okay, this was not the our coach is our guy. And I think his mind was made up before the season started, too.
Yeah. Well, and the most, to me, the most eyebrow-raising thing that he said yesterday was the fact that the coordinators, he would want the coordinators to have a chance to come back.
Yes.
He specifically mentioned Billy Napier. He said Phil Bennett would get the opportunity, too. He praised the job that both of them did this year, which is really odd because, you know, Todd hired them. Todd brought them in, and he fired him and then praised, you know, the two guys right under Todd and said they have a chance to come back. To me, that was really interesting and also strange because, I mean, you know, he even said that, you know, if a guy is not willing to consider retaining those guys, then he's not our guy. And, you know, that just seems like you're really handcuffing the guy you're bringing in, saying like, hey, we want you to come in and take our program to the next level. Oh, yeah, by the way, we want you to consider your two most important assistants. We want you to keep our guys, or at least, you know, consider keeping our guys. That seemed very strange to me.
Well, and add to that, the defense finished, what, 107th in the nation this year?
They made improvements.
They made improvements, but I mean, they went from what 130 to 107, Doug. I mean, come on, it's
yeah. They couldn't have been
any worse,
you know, much worse than what they were last. Right, you know, and you know, the biggest thing that what I've told fans all year, Brad, is if you want to criticize Todd, it should be with recruiting. It should be with the fact that they have absolutely no depth on defense. The fact that, you know, when they had to rely on a defensive secondary of, you know, a guy that's, you know, two guys playing their first year, a guy that never started. I mean, that is inexcusable in your 6 years, if you're in your sixth year. That is all perfectly legit to be upset with the direction of the program. But, you know, in some ways I thought this was Todd's best year, given their roster, where they were, the fact that Mandy was an uncertain element at the beginning of the season. The offensive line was still inexperienced. They couldn't run the ball at all. They couldn't run the ball against New Mexico State to start the game or to start the season. And at the end of the year, they were doing that. So I think they made progress. You know, I don't blame Ray for doing what he did. You know, 18 and 19 over the last 3 years, you know, perfectly understandable. Do you want to make a change? I just think he wanted to do it all along.
But this culture of ASU football, this is nothing. This is 20 plus years. I can go back to when Jake, this is my first few years here, when Jake took him to the Rose Bowl. And for the last 20 years, I hear a lot of, well, it's a pro sports town. We don't have the resources. We don't have this. We don't have that. We're so happy we're going to the Vegas Bowl or the El Paso Bowl and these minor bowls. And it's ridiculous. So I totally am on side and lock stop with what Ray said yesterday to that end. I think Todd came here. And he took some scars and some wounds, and which is a growing part for a coach. You're going to get beat up. Can you come out of it? Which he did. I think he oversold too much to the detriment of him, took his eye off some of his assistant coaches he hired because he was out raising funds. And he's got this beautiful facility that now he's not here to. He missed on some guys. Would we agree on that or disagree?
No, I agree with all of that. You know, I will say that, you know, Ray was impressive in the press conference yesterday. He came in, he had a little bit of an edge, and he said what every fan wants to hear is that ASU should be top three in the Pac-12, top 15 nationally. You know, but I've sat in that press conference before, Brad, and I've heard the exact same thing.
Yep.
Not much has changed, and, you know, it's just I don't fault ASU for saying, you know what, this is what we should be. But the facts are, it's what they've never been. And the reasons for that, you know, I've been asked that a million times. I can't answer it. I think, you know, fan support has a lot to do with it, but, you know, facilities have been a problem. They got that turned around. I'll give the administration credit for that. But, you know, the administration, and they think they have everything in place now to be a top-notch program. That's true. But this is only like year three of that, mm-hmm, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just been in Todd Graham's stretch that they decided to start paying their assistants on a level with the rest of the Pac-12. It's just been recently that they decided to put in, you know, upgrade their facility. So, you know, we really haven't seen the results of that. Can they max that out? Possibly. You know, obviously they didn't think Todd Graham was the guy to do it. Now, as far as Todd coming in and, you know, speaking victory and doing all that, he did oversell. at the beginning. But at first,
he had
at
to. First, he had to.
He did. I mean, if you're going to raise money, you're going to raise money for all these projects, you have no choice. And at the time when Steve Patterson was there, and we're coming off the Lisa Love, run there, the athletic department was stale. They needed. I mean, that kind of reinvigorated the program a little bit. Now it got old when they were. I think it was Todd's third year, and Kirk Herbstreit was picking them to win the, be in the college football playoff, and it backfired on them. But what Ray did yesterday, saying that we want to be a championship level program, that's the same thing Todd was doing earlier this year, and he got criticized for it. So, it's just Arizona State's biggest problem is you have to know who you are, and before you take the next step, you have to acknowledge and accept who you are. And I don't know if Arizona State's ever really done that. Now, I give them credit. They are positioning themselves to try to take the next step more than they have in the past. We'll see if it happens.
Yeah. I think fresh blood is needed at all levels, and they've brought some of that in. Ray brought in a lot of his guys. Some of those guys have left, which is interesting. A couple other things here. So the next head coach, from your view, is going to be Kevin Sumlin. Is it a name that is yet to be determined? Everybody's throwing darts up against the board wanting to say, well, I had it first. And, be right, not first. Okay, let's be simple here. What do you think? What direction is it going?
I will say, here's the name I've heard for the last 3 or 4 weeks has been Kevin Sumlin. But it's the easiest name.
Sure.
I mean, it's the one that's the easiest to connect the dots to.
Seems too obvious. It seems too obvious.
It does. I'm not sure. Ray was said at one point, Brad, that yesterday that he was going to, he has a little committee in place to help him pick guys that, a handful of guys that we need to look at and ones that you need to stay the hell away from. And I'll be honest, when he said stay the hell away from, Kevin Sumlin was the guy who popped into my head. Mm-hmm. Now, it would not surprise me knowing Ray is if the guy that he has in mind, and I think Ray's a smart guy. I think he knows who he wants. I think that's been him. I don't want to say the terms are locked up. It's a done deal. But I think he's had his guy targeted for a while. It wouldn't surprise me if it's a guy that no one has even mentioned yet.
Yeah, I agree with you. It just has that feel that feel of, oh, yeah, someone would be great. And,
it's too easy.
There's some names and there's coaches that I look at across the country and say, if you're Arizona State, why not? If Dan Mullen can drop from one SEC school to another, then go lob a phone call to Chris Peterson and David Shaw. They're going to say no, but at least show me that you're trying to go much higher than anybody is talking about at this point. This is not a place where you go get the coach at Boise who's done a nice job and bring him here like they did with Dirk, in my opinion. He's done a great job. I would talk to him. I'd talk to Lane Kiffin because he's done a great job. Doesn't mean I'm going to hire him. I think you just got to turn over all the rocks and say, okay, this is a premier job. Ray's job is based off this hire, don't you think? He's blown out so many coaches and changed coaches. This is going to be his hire and defines his legacy here if he gets another deal.
Without question, I think he's been itching to make it. It was interesting when he was talking about where the program has suffered recruiting. That's interesting. He thinks ASU should, be able to go into California and get 4- and 5-star guys. Maybe. I've always been under the opinion, though, that in California, if guys are 4 or 5, especially the 5-star guys, if they have an offer from USC, ASU's going to lose that battle 99% of the time. But he also pointed out the NFL, the fact that, ASU has not done a good job of developing NFL talent. Some of that goes back to recruiting. Some of that goes to staff turnover. But he almost seemed a little bit embarrassed by it, given his NFL background.
Sure.
The fact that only one guy last year was drafted, and that was the kicker.
The
only
kicker.
One guy drafted or invited to the combine. He seemed a little embarrassed by that. That's obvious. When you look at their struggles, there you have it. Todd's had 10 guys during his 6 years drafted. 3 were Dennis Erickson guys. That's a little over 1 a year of the guys he brought in. That's not acceptable. But I don't know. I think if you're going to ask guys to keep the coordinators, I wonder if you're looking for a guy that's going to be like the CEO approach. So that might suggest he's a little bit older mm-hmm. than what we're thinking. I don't know. And then the whole NFL ties thing. I think I don't know if Ray's going to get a guy that has NFL ties. I know he's going to lean on some NFL his NFL contacts. I mean, he was an agent for a long time. He was an NFL executive. I think that's smart of him. I don't know how much to weigh that and what he's going to do. I really don't.
All right. Before I get you out of here, Bobby Hurley is sitting over there in desperate need of a new facility, desperately, and the place as a whole. And he is doing very, very well. He's off to a great start. They're going to be ranked, I think, in the top 15 this week. You've seen them play. You were up in Las Vegas covering them. Does Todd's buyout, I've had this thrown at me by people at Arizona State, Todd's buyout is going to impact the stream to go get the facility renovated. I don't buy that. Do you buy that? That this is going to impact Hurley?
Well, I think it's going to impact the entire athletic department. I mean, Ray said yesterday that nothing that they have in motion, all their projects, facilities-wise, will be impacted by this. But, I mean, you know, ASU doesn't have donors lined up just to, you know, write a check and make the buyout go away. You know, it's $12 million. That's pretty substantial. I think it will. I think the Wells Fargo Arena reconstruction, remodeling, rebuild, whatever you want to call
do
it.
Do something
I think
with
all
it.
Just trying to put, yeah, this just put push to the in the background even more. You know, I get that they need to get the football program right. I get that. I understand it. But, you know, at some point, if Arizona State is serious about basketball, they're going to have to be serious about the arena. I mean, they're ranked number 20th in the poll this week.
Yeah.
You know, and they have, I think they're going to be better next year, Brad. And at some point, you know, if you really want to keep Bobby Hurley, you know, he's going to keep looking around every game, every game and say, you know what, this is hurting recruiting. You know, we can't get fans in here, you know, but people are going to come calling for him, and they're going to be
no question. I don't even think it's going to be a couple of years. I think it's going to be this year, because this, you know, what is this? Was it been two times in 15 years this team's gone to the tournament? So he's come in here and he's turned it around in a hurry. And they're at Kansas. I know they've got some other games, but they're at Kansas a week from this Saturday, I believe it is. They have a shot at Kansas, yep. Doug?
I don't think anybody. You never know in that kind of atmosphere. But, you know, the main question I have, I'm like, well, if those bigs, Romello White and Daquan Lake, get in foul trouble, they don't have anybody behind them, they're going to be in trouble. Well, against Xavier, those bigs were in foul trouble, and Xavier couldn't stop those guards.
Guards were great. Yep.
Yeah, I think they're legit. Whether or not they can go in there and win Kansas, one of the toughest places in the country, I'm not sure yet. But I think they're going to be dangerous. I think right now, given the Pac-12 and what's going on at Arizona and all that, you know, I would say they're in the top three in the conference there, and you know, they sure look like an NCAA tournament team to me, and I've talked to a lot of smart people in the business, a lot of coaches, and they all say the same thing.
Yeah. Before I get you out of here, is there anything I haven't asked you about Todd Graham that you feel like needs to be said that's in your wheelhouse?
Well, I just don't think I just think like his fate was sealed. I think pretty much after last year with the way the defense performed, with the way it ended in the Territorial Cup, I think the decision was made there. I wonder if the reason he wasn't let go then was just because, you know what, let's give him one more year and it'll lower the buyout. I just don't think no matter what they would have done would have saved him this year. I mean, and, you know, you give him a lot of credit because he did a lot of great things. Mm-hmm. They fell short. And, you know, as I mentioned, the big question going forward is let's max it out. Let's see what we can do. You know, we haven't seen it before. So I'm a little skeptical that we're going to see it anytime soon just because you make a coaching change. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I think if I'm an ASU fan, I'd be really interested to see who they're going to bring in here to turn this around.
Yeah, I've got Rick Neuheisel in about 20 minutes. I'm interested to get a national perspective, and I appreciate your local perspective on it. Great work. I know you're grinding behind the scenes, putting in the long hours. Keep up the good work. Thanks.
My pleasure, Brad.
It's Doug Haller with us, AZ Central, AZ Central ASU Insider. Paula got pulled into a meeting. Rapper is still going to be with us.
The dean called.
The dean called. Is she being interviewed for the job?
No, I don't think it's that dean.
If the dean called and said, you come to the office, Dean Callahan, it's trouble. So that's fine.
Rain check.
It's fine. That's why she's the professor. Jeff Van Rapphorst in about 10 minutes. Rick Neuheisel coming up at the top of the hour. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. We're here every Monday through Friday doing our thing live at 10 a.m. If you catch us on the podcast, you can check out our content all over the website. Podcast usually hits about 12:30 during the day when we're done producing this up. and our television show on Fox Sports Arizona, Brad Sussmat Football AZ, into year number 3. That is over on Fox Sports Arizona Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday mornings. Stay with us. So for many of you, you've been out of town or you've just been away from your computer and you've not watched us since Friday and you're just getting back in the swing of things. Todd Graham was fired yesterday. Arizona State did beat the U of A on Saturday night, which many fans thought this is a crowning moment. We beat the U of A. It's a great season. Todd Graham's going to stay. No, he was fired yesterday morning. So for context's sake, I want to bring you some of what was said yesterday, and we'll start with Todd Graham. This was Todd Graham after finding out that he was fired. I thought he handled himself in a very classy manner. Check out Coach Graham.
From the bottom of my heart, I want to thank the university, Dr. Crow, for the opportunity they gave me here. It was a true blessing for me and my family to come here. What an incredible memories. You come in this building is my life's work, and I got a full heart. Got a full heart today, and I'm just so grateful for the opportunity and the blessing. I'm a blessed man, no question about it, and I want to thank them for that. 6 years ago, coming in here, it was a very different place, and you always want to leave a place better than you found it, and I really feel like that we've done that. I want to thank all the people in the athletic department. There's so many people athletically, emotionally, physically, academically that played a tremendous role. Just really proud of what our really instilling student athletes back into this place and what that means. Coming into a place and I walked in here, we were a 2.2 GPA and that does mean a lot to me that we're a 3.0 and that we're doing what we should do for young people, and that's helping get an education. I'm very proud of that. I'm proud that our staff and our football staff in particular, that we raised those standards.
So that was some of Todd Graham from yesterday. Ray Anderson spoke as well in a different room. This was yesterday as well.
We have a number of folks that we think will elevate us. Do they have to have previous coaching experience? I think for where we are, absolutely, very frankly. Got to be a dynamic recruiter. You've got to be able to go in to anybody's house in Southern California, Northern California, Louisiana, Texas, and sell the vision and recruit. But you certainly have to have someone, in my view, that's dynamic, that is articulate, who can really sell the vision, not just of Sun Devil football, but Sun Devil athletics, ASU, the institution.
That was from Ray. And Arizona, he's got to sell it in Arizona, for sure. It's just the high school coaches here, I think, have been split. I think that's the best way to put it. What does Jeff Van Raphorst and then Rick Neuheisel think about what happened at ASU yesterday and moving forward? You're going to find out over the next 20 minutes. Rapper is next. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, and we also have our football show on Fox Sports Arizona, 16 airings per week. We are self-funded, so we appreciate those sponsors that have supported us now for coming up on 6.5 years. Appreciate all their support. As always, when there's big news involving coaches moving on, you find those people that are the face and voice of the program that speak not just from the fans' point of view, but also from the school, that they are really indebted to the school, and they did a lot for that school. Jeff Van Raphorst is at the top of that list, a Sun Devil legendary quarterback and ASU radio analyst. Jeff and I spoke Saturday night after the game briefly, and I think we didn't know if this was going to happen. The report was out there. You and Tim Healy had heard that this report was out. And now that we're sitting here on a Monday, what do you make out of all this? Todd Graham being let go, Jeff?
Well, I think it's too bad that there's all this, so much, there were so much rumors, if you will, and out in media and social media and everything else that kind of put a lot of pressure, I think, all year long on the coaches and the players and everybody else. And I think that's kind of a disservice, but obviously it's a decision that Ray Anderson made. He has that right. He wants to win, and I understand, what his goals are. I think they're the same goals that all of us have. So, I think it's frustrating. I'm personally close to the coaches. I like them. I think they've done a great job. Uh,
But, you know, on the other side, you know, I get what they're trying to do and where they're trying to, you know, where they want this program to be. And I think everybody wants it to be there, you know, at that level, that elite level. You know, just one of those things. We got to adjust to change like always, and we'll move on.
So I've been in that space of being a play-by-play guy, and you go into those meetings week after week for a coach that's hearing rumors and the assistant coaches, and it starts to impact them. You were in those meetings, I'm sure, as you were prepping for games, and you traveled with them on the road. Was this coaching staff distracted? I'm not saying on game day, but was it a distraction during the week, the constant, we don't know if we're going to be here or not?
You know, absolutely not. I mean, the one thing about coaches I think that is so, you know, it's refreshing to be around is it's a very black and white world. You know, you win, you lose. You have a job to do, you do it. Those guys were ultra professional every week. I never got one sense that was an issue. But on the flip side, I'm human. You know, you got to believe when they go home and talk to their wife or, mm-hmm. you know, their wife hears something in the store, or their kids or whatnot. You know, but that can be a challenging situation. And, you know, Coach Napier knew what the situation was when he came over here, and he just did a great job. He kept his head down. I thought he did a super job as a first-year offensive coordinator. Same thing with Phil Bennett. I mean, Coach Graham turned the reins over to Phil Bennett 100%, and the defense improved, you know, dramatically. And kudos to everybody on that staff.
Jeff, what do you think was the demise of Todd? What do you think led to this, from your view?
You know, it's a good question. I've kind of gotten out of the, you know, prognostication of this, and really, I just look at the quotes. You know, if you read, you know, Ray Anderson's quotes, you know, it sounded like it was, you know, not, you know, wanted to be 9 wins plus and challenging for the Pac-12 periodically. He also wanted to have, you know, in-state recruiting and things like that. So, you know, whatever, you know, Ray had his reasons. I think Coach Graham's a great football coach, and I'm looking forward to seeing what, you know, where he goes and what he does next.
One other question, that is Ray's comments yesterday about this program didn't hit the standards. I'm generalizing his quotes, but they were along the lines of, we should be going to top-flight bowl games. We should be winning more than 7 games. We should have more than one guy going to the NFL draft. 6 guys, I think Doug Haller told me under Graham's reign that have gone on to the NFL draft. You know, is Ray aiming too high, or is this just what Arizona State is?
No, I don't think he's aiming too high. I mean, certainly just from the NFL standpoint, you know, I think there's a lot of coaches will tell you, every coach will tell you, hey, we want our guys in the NFL. But you're not just trying to recruit the NFL guys. You're trying to recruit guys to fit your system. But we definitely have had too few guys in the NFL. And I thought, you know, the comment about one guy being in the combine last year, a kicker, you know, those are all things that I looked at and, you know, saw last year. Like, you know, when we do the weekly press releases for each team, you kind of keep track of how many alumni are in the NFL from each university. You know, USC certainly does very well at the top of that list. But ASU's had a long history of NFL players from, you know, Jake Plummer to Eric Allen, Keith Poole, and, you know, obviously going all the way back to Danny White. So we definitely can put more players into the NFL, and we will. You know, that's all of those things, I think, you know, it sounds like factored into Ray's decision.
Let you go off that. Appreciate the time, Jeff, on short notice. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
Always good to catch up with Jeff Van Raphorst, and we're back with Rick Neuheisel next. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, our television show on Fox Sports Arizona, 16 airings per week. Brad Sesmat, Football AZ. Spotlight on Arizona State, the firing of Todd Graham. What direction do they go next? The comments by Ray Anderson, the athletic director. All things now being covered by one of the best in the business with CBS Sports, also Sirius XM. They are now over on the ESPN College Channel, right, Rick? Full ride with Rick Neuheisel and Chris Childers. Am I right on that with the radio?
Channel 84. I guess we're now ESPNU Radio.
ESPNU Radio.
Channel 84, Sirius XM, which is always a little concerning because I work for CBS. So I'm constantly dropping CBS tags on my work on the radio. So on CBS.
you're fired. You got it wrong today. Can't you get that exactly right, Coach? Come on.
On CBS. There you go. How you doing, my friend?
Rick, it's good to hear your voice. I'm curious, from Rick Neuheisel's point of view, when the word came out that Todd Graham was fired at Arizona State, what were your initial thoughts?
Well, I always feel bad knowing how much coaches pour of themselves into programs. And I know that those outside looking in will say, hey, he's well compensated. It's not like, he's not going to land softly. But it's more than just the head coach. It's an entire staff. It's in families being unseated, kids moving to new schools. And, yeah, it's the life we choose, but it always takes me back to those times in my life where we had to do just that. You know, the caravan just has to move on. That being said, you know, I thought there was improvement. I mean, shoot, there was a point in the season where it looked like it was going south, and he kind of rallied the troops. They got that big win against Oregon, a huge win against Washington, who at the time was undefeated, went on the road and beat a Utah team, and then finished the season by beating your in-state rival in Arizona. You're 6-3 in the South. That usually is good enough to say, hey, things are going in the right direction. But you have to remember that this was not a relationship that was spawned with his hire. Ray Anderson did not hire Todd Graham, and so at the root of this probably is a little bit of a relationship issue. You know, they just don't see eye to eye. They're not on the same page. And if that be the case, then it's right to make a change.
What is your view, Rick, of Arizona State in terms of a program that changes coaches about every 5 to 6 years? They have not gone to a Rose Bowl since Jake Plummer was here. Is this just what it is? Is this one of those 6-7 win programs? They have new facilities. You know, here, growing up here, what ASU means. But it's a different era. Is this just about as good as it's going to get? Is it one of those jobs?
Well, my hope for Arizona State, and you point out that I grew up there. You know, I went to every game from 1966 through 1979, watching Frank Cush and all those great teams. I was one of those people standing for every down of the Christmas Day win over Nebraska in the Fiesta Bowl, 17-14. I mean, so I know all about Arizona State and love Arizona State and remember fondly my days pulling for the Devils. That being said, there is a group of schools in the Power Five in the middle tier that basically just recycle coaches and just keep moving them out. It's the easier way to win back the fan base, get more excitement about the program rather than making the real commitments to what it takes to build a winning formula that's going to be sustainable over a long period of time. It's not fair in this case to say that that's the case with Arizona State, because I think Ray Anderson has a vision, has a view for this program, and I think he's in concert with the university president. So we're going to have to wait and see. But when athletic directors get to fire 3 and 4 coaches, then I think you're definitely right to say, wait a minute, what's going on here? Why do we keep lopping heads off just to win back the fans? Why can't we look and see that there's a deeper, more systemic problem and make the changes there? But we'll wait and see, because obviously there is some real facility improvement afoot there in Tempe.
Well, and to that point, I've been here 25 years coming over here from San Diego, and I'm just appalled that people are now content going, and no offense to El Paso and the Holiday Bowl growing up in San Diego, it's great, but it's in this day and age of bowl games. If you're content going to El Paso, Las Vegas, San Francisco, or San Diego every year, I just think you're not aiming high enough. And there seems to be something systemically over there that Ray himself alluded to yesterday, that he has higher goals and aspirations than how it's just been over here.
Gary Danielson, one of my colleagues here at CBS, said something a year ago that I will always give him credit for, which is everybody has the right to get better. And if they think they can make a change and get better, then they should do it. And I think we all can agree with that. But if you are going to keep doing the same things and expect to get better, that's the definition of insanity. And so with a new athletic director and a new vision and new facilities and now the hope for new leadership and new direction to try to get to a higher place, I think everybody will applaud that and will look forward to doing that. Again, I go back, if the same system is in place and you just keep lopping heads, then I think you have to wonder, is this a deeper problem than just who happens to wear the headset? And I think too often, I heard the number today that 34 of the 65 power schools, more than half of the 65 power schools have made a coaching change in the last 3 years. The college football playoff, there's only 4 spots. has made it, as you point out, El Paso or San Diego, which are great destinations, and those committees do a great job
right.
of making it an entertaining week and so forth. But those have been muted into consolation games. They're no longer, you know, feathers in a cap of a program for a job well done. It's basically where you go so that you can get a little bit more spring ball. And I think that's sad, but it's the reality. And so athletic directors and head coaches are trying to climb higher.
Talking with Rick Neuheisel, CBS Sports. You can also hear him on Channel 84 on Sirius XM. And he is great content, of course, as always. Kevin Sumlin's name is out here front and center. He's been fired at Texas A&M. I'm curious your view of Kevin Sumlin coming from A&M to Arizona State as a possibility.
I love Kevin. Kevin's a friend and certainly a good coach. He did a whale of a job at Houston, and unfortunately for him, did too well too early at A&M because he set his own bar so high that he couldn't attain it every year, being in the same conference with Alabama and LSU and Auburn. And so he's a victim of his own circumstances. That being said, the Arizona State job, and I'll say this unequivocally, has to have somebody who can recruit California as well as anybody on the planet.
Mm.
If you do not have a coach in place at Arizona State that can go into the state of California and be competitive for every top player there, then you've got the wrong guy. And I think Kevin Sumlin can be as entertaining and gregarious and as charming as anybody in a living room, but does he know the state of California? Right now, his expertise is Texas. To me, you have to know California, and if you do, you can take the Devils back to the top.
Derek Mason from Vanderbilt is another name that has surfaced out here.
And did a quality job as the defensive coordinator at Stanford. Derek is from Arizona. I think he, was on that Northern Arizona staff. I have nothing but good things to say about Derek Mason. He's got some real unique challenges being the head coach at Vanderbilt because of admissions and playing the likes of Alabama and all the other SEC powers. But again. Is he an expert in California? To me, that if Kevin Sumlin and Derek Mason can come in and show you, here's my staff and here's how I'm going to recruit San Diego, here's how I'm going to, you know, corner the market in Orange County and Los Angeles, here's what we're going to do in the Central Valley to get the good players from Fresno and those areas, and here's how we're going to go take over Northern California, then I'm going to be listening. But if I don't have a guy that can do that as well as, you know, capture the in-state talent. I can't let Brett Hundley leave the state of Arizona anymore. If I don't have a guy that has a plan for Arizona home, keeping the big-timers, not over-recruiting it, because usually there are not enough guys to stay home and sustain your program at the highest level, you got to go to California. You got to have experts that have relationships with all those coaches, and then you take the rest of the nation and you basically spot check there in terms of unique talent that want to come to Arizona State. You got 70,000 students at Arizona State right now. It's a wonderful place. The facilities are going to be second to none, and no one loves a winner better than the Valley of the Sun. But you got to win, and that's why you have to have a plan for how to get the Jimmies and Joes. It's not about X's and O's.
One other question, I'll let you go off that, and just one follow-up to what you said. Ray did mention yesterday, along with California, to see Texas and Louisiana. He wants someone that's able to recruit those areas very well, too, and to get kids here.
There's no question that Texas is fertile. The difference is that you end up taking those kids that come a little too early. Here's the key to recruiting. If you remember one thing I said in this program, this make sure this is it. It's not who you don't get in recruiting that gets you beat. It's who you get that later find out can't play at the level you need them to.
Hmm.
Because you don't get to get rid of them. Those guys are going to be on your team. And they're going to be hard soldiers and all that stuff. But you have to have those that can play against the USC's and the other big-time programs in the Pac-12 if you're going to get to the big prizes. And that's why you have to have great evaluation pieces and any great relationships to get those who are going to make differences in your program.
Rick, who are some names that make sense to you? You're a national voice, national landscape. Who are some names that make sense to you for this job?
Sumlin is a good idea. There's no question about that. Scott Frost is a guy that his offense is working. We know that Chip Kelly's taken that offense to UCLA. That's a guy, now, very little in the way of experience. How about Mike Norvell? He came from Arizona State. He knows the inner workings of Arizona State. He was one of Todd's chief lieutenants when things were going well, when they won the Pac-12 South. There's a guy that, in my mind, has some stuff about him. I don't know what Kyle Whittingham's situation is at Utah, but I know that he can flat coach and has done a great job recruiting. And maybe with enhanced facilities, as is going to be the case at Arizona State, he might be a perfect fit. I know this. It has great appeal nationally. And I'm also, you know, a fired football coach. So I'm going to give you another name of a guy that I still think has a lot of tread on the tire, that did some great things and is the ultimate CEO in terms of rounding things up, that being a guy like Mack Brown. I think that Mack Brown still can go out there and coach, and you look at what he did at the University of Texas. All he did at the end of the day was when it started to go south is because he started, as I said, taking guys that couldn't play because he had the appeal to take anybody he wanted and started taking guys after their junior year rather than waiting for a senior year evaluation. But there's a number of guys who will be very enamored with the opportunity at Arizona State.
And I'm getting a lot of people sending me emails saying, is Rick Neuheisel interested in the job?
Rick Neuheisel would definitely be interested in that job. I grew up there. Nothing would fire me more than to come back and
Rick. Come on,
get
Rick.
A coach for Sparky.
Are you throwing your name in the hat here? I got all these Sun Devil fans that would be excited to hear that.
If there's a Sun Devil fan that thinks that I could help, then have them call. Have Ray give me a call, and I would love to have that conversation. I know what a great spot that is. That's why I moved back. I'm living in Scottsdale now. I'll be back as soon as the Army-Navy game's over. I think the place is not just a diamond in the rough. It's just a flat diamond.
You're serious.
I'm not trying to make news here. I know I'm a fired football coach. I understand that, and I'm now in the media and so forth, and there's a lot of guys that are much younger and handsomer and all that kind of stuff to carry the flag. All I'm saying is it's an attractive job, and if someone thought that I could help and be a catalyst to that end, I would be excited to talk about it.
Always good to hear your voice. Great to hear you moving back here. We'll catch up with you down the road, Rick. Thanks.
I look forward to it. We'll be back here in the middle of December. Happy holidays to one and all.
Thanks, Rick.
All right. Take care.
It's Rick Neuheisel with us. Eric, what are we to make out of that? Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. Now I'm getting all these emails. AZ Central Sports. And we're back with more after this timeout. Thanks for checking out this podcast on Sports360AZ.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.